keyboard. There we go. Now we're working.
All right.
Because in Windows, even Windows 10, your USB device is a different device depending on what USB port you plug it into. So here we are, the San Carlos Computer Club, and there's already a hand up, but let me introduce myself. I'm Scott Stimson, and we stream this live every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15, so if you miss it here, you can listen to it at home. And if you miss it at home live, you can listen to the recording I'll put on the website at sccclub.org. Marge.
I don't have a battery in my computer. Can I plug in?
You mean right now?
Right this minute.
Well, you could plug into the electricity here, but it's not one of my favorite things to do.
Okay, so I should just
make There is Wi-Fi here at Tequila's, where we meet.
Okay.
So you can bring your equipment, and you can use your phone, you can use your tablet, you can use your computer. There isn't outlets that are conveniently located for plugging in.
All right.
I had a lot of fun at our first meeting. This is our second meeting of this season. We got to just briefly talk on 1,000 topics and didn't go in depth into anything. I'm happy to answer any questions. I did come with a list of topics. Some of them are from last week, and I did come with a list. I'm starting to get more and more organized with this stuff. You know, we've only been doing computer clubs since the early 2000s, so it's. I mean, eventually I'm going to get it all put together.
I'm out of here.
Is there anybody on Windows 10 right now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes? Anybody else?
Soon?
Okay. You are too? Okay. Well, then I'll mention a couple of things about Windows 10 real quick, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. It's looking like if you want to upgrade to Windows 10 after this next rollout. Oh, you had mentioned, Linda had mentioned last week that it looked like the new big rollout was coming out.
Yeah.
That's called Threshold 2, if anybody wants an insider's perspective on how we keep track of it. If you Googled Threshold 2, you would find out all about this new big rollout that's coming out. It's completely free, but it's going to replace Windows 10 with a new version of Windows 10, and that's the one I mentioned last week, is the actual Windows 10 that was on their timeline.
Okay, if you're set up to get the Windows 10...
You'll get it.
When will it be out?
It's going to be out in November, and that's what I wanted to correct from last week. What is out now is the Insider's track. So I don't know if you've looked in Windows 10 under updates, there is a link in it to join the Insiders. And when you use that, what you do is you get Windows 10 updates and features before the regular, they call them rings. And you'd be on the fast track ring, the insider's ring, instead of the standard ring, the rest of the world. Now, I'm not recommending you do this. I don't think that I have a customer that needs to be an insider. Unless they're a hobbyist, they have a computer that they don't rely on, they have a computer just for hobby, there's no reason to go to the insider's track because that's where they're doing all the debugging. They're asking you to be a guinea pig by joining the insiders. I have one computer that's an insider's computer and two computers that are on the standard drive, standard ring. Just to give you an idea of how I deal with it. I want to know what's going on and have access to the latest features and debug and see if there's problems. At the same time, I don't want my computer going nuts while we're in the middle of club. And so that's a standard installation Windows 10. But that being said, I just wanted to clarify. Last week, Linda had read something that said it was coming out this week. What has come out this week is only the Insiders version. The big rollout, Threshold 2, that we're expecting for everyone will be coming out in November.
Does that mean that I need to upgrade what I've got now?
It will upgrade automatically. Yeah. And in a perfect world, you won't feel any differences and everything will be faster and you'll have new features. Now, another thing on Windows updates and upgrades, It's looking more and more likely, and I'm sure they're not going to announce it until this new rollout comes out. But this new rollout is going to support upgrading Windows, these free upgrades to Windows 10 with your Windows 7 product code, or your Windows 8 product code, or your Windows 8.1 product code. What this means is you can do a fresh install of Windows 10. See, up till this point, if you wanted a free upgrade to Windows 10, wherever your equipment was, it would have to be Windows 7 installed or Windows 8 installed. Some people have actually had to do Windows 7 to Windows 8 to Windows 8.1, and then they have access to the Windows 10 upgrade. This has proven to be kind of a frustration. Yeah.
Bug spray.
Oh, bug spray? Are we having bugs?
Yes, around the ankles.
Damn it. San Carlos frustrations. They're everywhere, aren't they?
You know, talking about that upgrade, I had a Windows 7, and they upgraded it at Microsoft. I called them up. They started in on it. 2 hours later, the gal said, you need a level 2 technician. You finished it. We'll call tomorrow. They didn't call. I called them back. 4 hours later, that was 6 hours it took them to upgrade to Windows 10.
Yeah.
My Windows 7. And this was Microsoft, guys, not me. You know, that's how screwed up that thing
is. But it's in.
Well, and if you'd asked me, I would have said, wait, because you're in no hurry. Windows 7 is a great operating system.
Yeah, and you said that last year.
Yeah, I'm not looking at a person here that needs to feel like they need to upgrade a Windows 7 computer or a Windows 8 computer to Windows 10 right now. They're still shaking out all the bugs. But this plan, if you hear what I'm saying, after this big release happens in November, and it's still free, you're going to be able to upgrade, do a clean install of Windows 10. I mean, that means you could get a hold of any Windows 10 disk. Maybe you downloaded it. Maybe a friend gave it to you. But as long as you have the sticker on the back of your computer that's your Windows 7 license, you'll be able to use that to authorize Windows 10. So there won't be any more of this monkeying around getting Windows. If you wanted a clean install before, you had to wipe out your system, put Windows 7, do all the upgrades, and then choose to do the upgrade through Microsoft. They'll give you the Windows 10 notification, and you reserve it.
Will the new Windows 10 lay itself over an existing 8.1?
Yes.
So I don't have to.
You don't have to do this, but this is beautiful for people that feel like their computer's having problems. I've said in the past, don't upgrade your operating system to fix problems. You might just be opening up a whole can of worms. Your computer should be in clean, healthy shape before you do an upgrade to another operating system.
And backed up.
Yeah, definitely backed up. Definitely backed up. Make sure it's backed up. And so, say you have a Windows 7 computer that's giving you fits, and you're just waiting for Windows 10. Well, it may fix it, it may not. There's a better chance you're going to just run into more problems. So maybe what you're hoping for is a clean installation. I just want all this garbage gone, and I want the new operating system. Well, what they're saying makes it sound like you're going to be able to do this. And right now, if you want all the garbage gone, you're going through a lot of hoops. You're having to reinstall your original operating system, upgrade it all the way up to the latest release, and then you get the notification that Windows 10 is available, and then you reserve your copy, then you download your copy, then you do the upgrade from your Windows 7 or Windows 8 up to Windows 10. What I'm saying is that you'll be able to download a disk of Windows 10 and start from a blank computer, and as long as you have a license code for Windows 7 or Windows 8, you'll be able to install Windows 10. It's significantly less headaches.
Does that mean that step one is format the computer so that...
That's exactly what that means. Is the very first thing you can do is just format the computer. Where, thank you, Gary, because that's the distinction I'm trying to make. Right now, the very first step in a clean computer is restore your computer to how you bought it. With this change, the very first step is format it with Windows 10. Yeah, it's much easier.
Zero.
Yeah, start from zero. So this hasn't been announced, but this is the way it's sounding with all the scuttlebutt on the internet. Everybody that pays attention to this stuff is saying when this new rollout comes out, part of the new rollout is this easier to upgrade option.
Are you saying that wipes your computer clean?
I'm saying that if you want to start from a clean installation, the first step can be format with Windows 10, reiterating what Gary was emphasizing. Whereas before, if you wanted a clean installation, your first step was restore your computer back to the way you bought it. Upgrade everything. That's the next step. Third step is reserve your copy with Microsoft. The fourth step is download the copy of Windows 10 and install it on your computer.
You're telling us now that they're going to be doing this for us.
Well, what they're saying is that instead of having to jump through all those hoops to verify that you are a Windows 7 or Windows 8 customer, all you have to do is have the license code. The sticker on the bottom of your laptop is what authorizes
it. At some point in the installation, it'll come up.
It'll ask for it.
But what you're describing is not what I want to do.
Right. Now, what you want to do is going to work, too. Because that's what works now, and that will always work, is the ability to just upgrade, to just lay it over. That's right.
That way you don't have to reinstall it.
Yeah.
God, that takes 3 weeks.
Yeah, the ability to just upgrade from 8 to 10 will still exist, or from 7 to 10 will still exist. But that distinction is very important because it's so much easier if you need to start from a clean computer. I mean, I know I dug out computers that were licensed for Windows 7 and immediately put Windows 10 on them, but they started with me restoring, because I wanted them fresh, restoring the operating system that they were sold with, and then doing all the upgrades, and then activating the system, and then choosing to have the Windows 10 upgrade, and then waiting for Windows 10 upgrade to install.
How long does that take to restore it?
What he just described quite a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a real pain, and that's the reason this is a significant change in the way they're doing things. It also underlines their emphasis. This is less about providing people with free operating systems and more about getting everybody up to the same level. And this is something that Apple has done for a long time with the Macintoshes. I don't know. I know the Mac people recognize it, but most PC people don't realize that we never buy an OS. We never buy an operating system for our Macintosh. It's always free. It's been free forever. When Apple puts out an update to their operating system like this, they make it available to all their current customers that have Macintosh computer. Now, what they do have is a cutoff. They have a cutoff on equipment, where that equipment's too out of date to have the latest operating system, so it's not available. You can keep running the old operating system or buy another computer. Yeah, and there's no way that you can put the new Apple operating system on an old computer, and there's no way you can buy the new Macintosh operating system, because it's not intended for anything except for the equipment that it's authorized it for. It's free if you've got the equipment, but it's not for sale. You can't buy it to put on other equipment.
Did everybody get that Intel graphics update yesterday?
I bet most people aren't aware of it.
There were three of them. That's why I asked. You know, last week you said to check the video card model. How do you check the video card model?
I don't know.
Device manager would do that.
It is in the device manager?
Yeah. If you look under displays in the device manager, you'll see what video card it is.
Under displays.
Yeah. So that's what I've got for Windows 10 updates. I got one other thing that I want to mention on updates. It's running Windows 10 or plans to. I should know that one of the new paradigms with Windows 10 upgrades is peer-to-peer sharing of the upgrades. If you've probably heard peer-to-peer when it comes to like BitTorrenting movies and TV shows and pirating music, but Microsoft has included a peer-to-peer system in their upgrade system for Windows 10.
What does that mean?
Well, what this means to us is that you can have one, or you can have two or three Windows 10 computers in your house, and only one of them has to get the upgrade. and it will share that upgrade with the other computers. Now, this is great, especially for people in the States that have bandwidth caps on how much they can download, or people that rely on mobile connections. So it's bandwidth caps are like this limitation on how much you can download over a month. So this means that every time there's an update, you only have to download it once, and your other computers can get the updates from the first computer that got the update. Now, there is a caveat with this, though. The default settings are to share not only inside your home network, but also on the Internet. So my recommendation is go into updates. If you have only one Windows 10 computer, turn this feature off because it's not offering you any benefits. And that's under the Windows updates in settings in Windows 10. You can see it under advanced settings. It'll be on to begin with because Windows 10 has it on by default. And essentially what you're doing by having it on is you're saying, share with all the computers on my network, share with all the computers on the Internet. That means you got the upgrade, but somebody who's virtually your neighbor, like somebody that's virtually connected right next to you, hasn't gotten it yet. Instead of them downloading it from Microsoft, they're downloading it from you.
And be vice versa.
Or vice versa. Now, the problem with that is we're speed handicapped in this country. I mean, especially if you're on Telmex, your upload speed is much slower than your download speed. And if you feel like you're having problems with your Internet connection, there's a very good chance one of your neighbors is grabbing their Windows updates from your computer instead of from Microsoft. If you've got more than one Windows 10 computer in your house, there is an option to say just on my network and turn off the option to share with the Internet.
Would you make a note to bring that up again in December when they're all 10?
I will.
What does it literally say?
If you go into Windows Updates, under Settings in Windows 10, at about the bottom of it, somewhere in the middle to the bottom, there is a link that says Advanced Settings. You click on that, and in there you'll find where it's talking about how updates work, when they're scheduled, and one of the options is just to switch on or off for sharing Windows updates. For sharing Windows updates. Yeah, in fact, is sharing the actual word? If you give me a second, I'll find out.
What are you doing, though? You mean to say, what if you get mad at your neighbor? Can you turn it off?
Well, you don't get to choose. And actually, in your case, in some people's cases here in San Carlos, you're sharing an Internet connection with your neighbor. What?
I'm not anymore.
Oh, you're not anymore. You've got your own Internet connection. Okay. Well, if you are sharing an Internet connection with your neighbor, then it is quite literally your neighbor that's grabbing the updates from you. Now, in that case, that's in your best interest because they're not using up the Internet to download their updates. They're just grabbing it from you off the local network.
My service is better and my Magic Jack works better and everything.
That's right. It's in your interest that he gets it from your computer than gets it from the Internet, because the whole time he's on the Internet, he's hurting your ability to be on the Internet. Windows updates. I'm looking at the settings right now on a little netbook that probably shouldn't be running Windows 10. Advanced options. Oh, I'm glad you asked because I forgot to mention this. Choose how updates are delivered is the language. Choose how updates are delivered. And that's the page that has the off and on switch for whether you want to share your updates. And under the off and on switch is radio buttons that say PCs on my local network, PCs on my local network plus PC and PCs on the Internet. So at the very least, if you've got more than one PC in your house, you want to have PCs on my local network only. You want to change that setting. And if you only have the one computer in your life, turn off the whole way that updates are delivered, because you don't need to be providing updates to anybody.
But if people come into your home, you would want the option to give them access, wouldn't you, if they're bringing their own laptop?
Well, you'd balance that off the convenience of keeping track of this feature, right?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's Patch Tuesday, you know, that standard Tuesday of the month, the second Tuesday of the month, where all these updates download into your computer. Well, if it's that day and you're pretty sophisticated and you know your friend doesn't have it and they've come to stay with you for the week,
sure,
maybe you do turn it on because you've already updated.
Gotcha.
And so they can just grab it from you instead of chewing up your internet connection. And I think that's the gambit of all my update issues for Windows 10. And like Chester asked, I will reiterate it again in December when is the time I'm suspecting most people will be moving to Windows 10, at least from this crowd.
What's it called again, the new one?
The Threshold 2. If you want to find out information about this big roll-up. I mentioned last week that what we're using as Windows 10 right now is actually on Microsoft's production timeline as Windows 9. And the actual release of Windows 10 is what's going to come out in November.
Nothing was ever called 9.
Nothing was ever called 9 because of the marketing of Windows 8 and the problems they had and people's interpretations of 8. They started working on 9 immediately, and then they decided they had to distance themselves as far as possible, and so they just branded it Windows 10. The Windows 10 we use now, and I'm reiterating from last week, the Windows 10 we have now is a user interface difference. It's actually Windows 8 with a Windows 10 interface on it. The new core, the kernel, the underlying operating system will change this November, and it will be the true Windows 10 intended from the timeline plan.
When are they going to do this one on Surface?
You've got an RT, don't you?
Yeah.
They're not.
They said something about it coming out later on.
If it hasn't been released already, what they've released is, look at this, I've gotten bitten by a bunch while I was talking.
Well,
put the poison on. It kills you too.
Well, what they're releasing for the RT, and this is the Windows version that's similar to an Android. It runs on a different chipset. They're planning an interface upgrade so that it looks very similar to Windows 10. So you really have to decide. The RT device is so much more a mobile device than it is a PC. And the changes that came in Windows 10 were more an idea of bringing the PC back into the fold. You'll have to decide. I would look online. I would look at other people's Windows 10s before you even decide to make that change. Because the underpinnings of your device aren't changing, only the way you access it. So instead of having all those live tiles, you'll have the start menu with live tiles. Yeah, you may not want it on this device. It's going to become a personal preference issue. If I'm not monopolizing the conversation with things you don't want to talk about, I do have some other topics that I think are relevant to us. I have a public service announcement. I found out about a VPN from this club that I had not been aware of called Ola. You guys remember we talked about this before I left for Alaska.
GD always uses it.
Okay, they need to stop.
Stop Ola.
If anybody is using Ola, it is a free VPN. It will definitely give you access to Hulu. It'll give you access to Amazon streaming. It'll give you access to Netflix. I'm not promoting it. This is the reason you have started using it. It's completely free. It's a plug-in for Chrome. It's a plug-in for Firefox. Don't write this down as something you want to use, because it has now been proven that it is a malware delivery system. And so it is allowing exploits to come into your computer at the same time it's sucking down personal information.
So what's it, how's it spelled?
Ola? Ola, like hello in Spanish.
H-O-L-A, not O-L-A.
So if you write this down, write down next to it, do not use. If you see friends using, explain that they should not be using it. This is compromising everybody's security. Until we have it on better authority that they're changing their practices, they've used very bad security in the first place. They are compromising your privacy as part of their business model. But because they've used very bad security in the first place, it's become an ad network and a malware network.
Is that a similar thing to when smartphones first came out? I remember being told that the flashlight app that a lot of people get had the same intent.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's a very good analogy. This is the flashlight app of 2015. You do not want to use this as your VPN. And actually, any free VPN should be questionable. You should be questioning any VPN that you're using for free.
Free is not free.
Right. It is costing you something. The ones that quickly come to mind are ones, Hotspot Shield. We used that for a long time. It was pretty obvious what that was doing, is you used it for free, and it was allowed to send you advertising the whole time you were using it. It was allowed to modify web pages with advertising. It was allowed to pop up advertising on your screen.
Yes.
And that was a compromise that you agreed to because you got to use a VPN for free. With what we know about advertising networks and malware, I don't recommend Hotspot Shield anymore. There's another one that's really popular, and it's so good and so easy to use, UltraSurf. Now, this one has not proven to send you malware, but it's very well known that it's tracking your movements and collecting your personal information. It is an endeavor between the U.S. government and Silicon Valley to create a firewall VPN that will allow you around firewalls in places like China. So you'll get access, you can get around censorship. But what we know about that is it funnels data right into the Utah NSA database center. So if you have any privacy concerns at all, you should not be using UltraSurf.
Snowden warned us about this, didn't he?
Well, not this particularly, but this is exactly what we've been learning about for 3 years now.
Yeah,
geez.
And that's another free one.
That's another free one. The UltraSurf I feel comfortable using if you're using it to get access to television resources in the States. If you've got it on a dedicated computer, that the whole point of it is your television, nothing else. You're not doing email, you're not doing banking, you're not chatting with people, you're not surfing web pages. Then I don't have a problem with UltraSurf. If you want to take a computer, hook it up to your computer, or hook it up to your TV set so you can watch TV, and that's the only job that computer is doing, then I don't have a problem with UltraSurf.
How do you separate it from your other computer?
What do you mean?
Well, so I'm going to do what you said.
Oh, this TV would be, you'd purchase a computer specifically for that job.
Yeah. But when I go to the internet to get it and get the hookup on it, doesn't that open that door?
Well, yeah, but I guess what I'm not talking literally don't use it for email. I'm saying conceptually, or for browsing the internet. I am literally talking about don't use it for email.
Sure, okay.
But conceptually for web browsing. Mm-hmm. You can use it for web browsing for things like go get the software and get it installed and install the updates and things like that. But anything that, if you have privacy concerns, if you're concerned about your information being tracked, it definitely is being tracked if you're using UltraSurf. Okay? So you want to use it safely. Use it on an isolated computer that does have internet access. And the only job is that job of providing you a TV.
Sure. Yeah. Keep your money in the mattress.
Don't Chester.
Yeah, I'm giving examples.
And don't smoke in bed if you do.
I go into Amazon and I'm looking up mouses.
Mm-hmm.
A wireless mouse. Okay? Then the next day I get on Facebook, here's my wireless mouse for sale over here. Yeah.
Right? Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, just amazing. All the stuff I look up that I want to buy, it shows up on Facebook.
Well, and that's not even the NSA. I mean, we really are balancing how much information the government, you want the government to know about you versus how much you want these corporations to know about you. Well, you really, I mean, you can try. There's a lot of ways you can try, but really, the convenience versus security has always been the issue.
The first time I noticed that was last year when I was looking at Lenovo computers in particular, and the following day there's advertising all over.
Yeah, right on the right side of the screen.
Yeah, right on the right side.
Right. Well, and you've got issues where, like when you go to Amazon, you've put an Amazon cookie on your computer. So you, after you're done at Amazon, you could flush out all your cookies, and that experience would go away. Amazon still has a record of everything you were doing. Mm-hmm. And if you sign back into Amazon, it doesn't matter whether you have that cookie at that moment or not. Because you're signed into Amazon, and their affiliates will be looking at your account for things to put next to you. If you're not signed into Amazon, the cookie identifies you as the same person that was looking at those. So if you didn't flush out the cookies, then any website you go to that's an Amazon affiliate is able to bring up those things that you were and present it to you.
How do I flush out my cookies? How do I get in there and delete cookies?
Well, you can use the utility, like CC Cleaner is a utility you could use. Each one of the major web browsers has the ability to erase all your history. But I guess what I'm getting at is we've come over the... I mean, that's not realistic anymore. I mean, I hate to preach that. I don't mean to. I'd like the idea to have some control over our privacy, but we just don't anymore. Do you want to spend the majority of your time covering your track? I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's like you go for a walk on the beach and you got a branch behind you and you're trying to clean your footprints, right? And you're still leaving a branch line behind you, right?
I was thinking the VPN would eliminate some of that.
Well, the VPN shows that traffic originating at points that belong to the VPN. So we've reached... There was a time where that was a great way to masquerade, right? The problem is we have so much computer power now and so much data that's been collected. They know how many people use these VPN services. They can make an algorithm of how often they get used. And so they can associate your traffic with you using that VPN now. I think the steadfast rule is everything on the internet is public. Just remember that. Just operate like that, post like that, send messages, write Facebook, write Twitter.
And do not give your email address out to commercial people because they will sell it. And I get close to 100 spams a day because of that. I just don't give my email address out.
But the internet is public. It's a public conversation. If you intend to operate as though it is not public, then you need to be much more sophisticated. There is no simple way for you to be private on the internet. Just assume everything is public. Mm-hmm. There's no just sharing secrets between you and a friend. You have to get deep, deep.
That's what worries me about banking.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what's happened with banking is less about it being your... It's all about liability. It's not your liability anymore. It's the bank's liability.
Why didn't you tell Hillary that story here 2 years ago?
Which one's this?
Hillary Clinton's story.
Huh?
I'm going to watch her tonight.
What a great example of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. What she did was not illegal or she'd be in court right now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's very true.
That's true. And I firmly believe that, for as much criticism as she gets, and regardless of my opinion one way or the other, it's all criticism. Yep. If it was illegal, she'd be in court.
That's right.
Absolutely. It's just a way to railroad her, that's all.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
But the funniest thing I ever thought was when this whole email thing came up is, why are they even bothering her? They should just go to the NSA. They've got all those records. They've had them. They've been. We've known they've been collecting since 2006. We've known since 2006. Right? The tech people have known that they have been grabbing all your phone calls, your text messages, your emails, your browser history, everything you type on a keyboard has been collected, and we've known it since 2006. To me, that means they've been collecting it longer than that. So they've got her email. Why is this an issue? I mean, anybody that needs that information should be able to get access to it.
Because
especially in the government.
They tried to railroad them on Whitewater. They didn't get them on that either.
Or a dozen other things.
That doesn't mean they weren't guilty.
That doesn't mean they were.
Right.
All right, this is not the political club. This is the computer club. You can use UltraSurf on a dedicated computer that you're not doing your regular habits on. Use UltraSurf if you're gonna. If you just want a free VPN to watch TV with, then have an isolated computer for TV and run UltraSurf on that. Do not run it on your main devices.
Okay.
And the reason for that is this privacy concern.
Is that a program you download and put mm-hmm. on it before you investigate whatever it is?
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful program. It's so easy to use. It's so effective.
Well,
it's a little standalone app. You don't have to install it. You can just download it and double-click on it like it's a Word document. And it just starts up, creates a new encrypted channel to one of their servers in the United States. And immediately you appear as though you're in the United States, so you can do all this stuff in the U.S. But what it does is it funnels all your activities into the NSA database warehouse in Utah.
So if you're shady, don't do it.
Right. No, I mean, like, if you're a criminal, definitely don't use it.
But we bought it.
Is it like Cloakbox? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Repeat your question.
I don't know which one we bought.
We almost got the question.
We actually paid for it. So,
right.
Are there ones that you pay for that you shouldn't be using also?
No. Well, not that I'm aware of. Not so far. So far, I haven't heard any recent news about any of the VPNs that you're purchasing for the purpose of being a VPN. That are preaching security, they are supposed to be providing you with security, with privacy. Unfortunately, they can't do that as far as the government's concerned, because it's become very apparent because of Snowden that where they're able to track information, a VPN's not going to protect you from that kind of tracking. But it will protect you from other people getting into your privacy. And it will allow you to behave as though you're in a different location, like you're in the United States. So a VPN protects you. For example, you would start up a VPN in a place like this, so some hacker in the corner can't get your passwords, right? Or they can't get into your computer and see your documents. That's why you would use a VPN. As far as security goes, most of us would use a VPN around here so that we can appear as though we're in the United States, so we can get access to Hulu and HBO Go and things like that. I mean, that's the biggest concern
so
for the computer
club. Traveling and you're just checking your banking or your internet.
I would use a VPN.
You would go ahead and put the VPN on before.
Yeah, I think that whenever you bring banking. Or credit cards or purchasing going on, if you've got access to a VPN that you've bought for security purposes, I would use it. I would run it across the VPN because what the VPN does is it encrypts your information from here to there.
Right.
So what you're saying is anything locally is no longer a threat. Somebody that's on your Wi-Fi network, somebody that's tapped into your local network. Like somebody that's, God forbid, somebody compromises the Telmex network. Well, the VPN would protect you beyond that. It would protect you over to their servers. Yeah.
So you shouldn't go on your banking or credit cards when you're in a hotel room.
Well, that's what I keep telling myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Hotels are a great place to use a VPN.
They're not really, no.
Yeah. Well, they have a different self-interest. They're providing internet as
a customer service.
Yeah, just like here, just like Tequila's. It's not their responsibility to make sure that they're incredibly secure. It's they're just trying to create a feature for you to take advantage of. And we have got years and episodes of VPN talk throughout the ages of Computer Club, and they're all on the website, sccclub.org, if you want to go back and listen to us rant about VPNs and how to use VPNs. We probably should move on since it's a common topic we talk about all the time.
I don't know what this stands for, VPN. What
Virtual Private Network.
Thank you.
You have to buy a special tool for that?
It's a software tool most of the time, but you can get hardware that'll do it.
Mine's hardware.
Yeah. I mean, a good example of using, going back to VPNs again, a good example of using a VPN around here is how Chester's got a cloak box. He's got a router that sits connected to, are you Telmex or Mega Cable?
Mega Cable.
Mega Cable. And it creates this encrypted channel to the United States so he can get Netflix on his big screen TV. Right, and he's got access to the U.S. catalog, and he could also use Hulu Plus if he wanted to, or Amazon streaming if he wanted to.
The only drawback, as you well know, is once a year when you renew your subscription, you have to go through a new setup. You need instructions on how to do it. He's given me those. It'll drive you
right.
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the implementation of the hardware. I imagine. And I think I've seen it already, but I haven't looked in a while. There are VPN providers that you can buy equipment from, and they maintain the box from you now, Chester. And so that includes things like updating your security certificates, so you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah. I know how now. I buy a lot of them. Living down here, I buy a lot online, and you almost always have to give a credit card, and I feel more comfortable giving a credit card number out on the VPN than I do on an unprotected line. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you look at it as layers, and the more layers that you've got around insulating what you're doing, the harder it is to get in. And security many times is thought of as an onion, where to get at the information, you have to peel through these layers. And so what you're doing is, with the encryption, is you're just creating another layer around the information that a hacker or a program has to get through to get at it.
Or even a neighbor.
Well, using PayPal is a lot better, because especially if you're buying stuff on eBay and stuff, you don't know these people that you're buying from. They're just a name, even if they say they have 100%, 98%. Using PayPal, they never see your information, so that's a lot safer by using them. Only you only have to put it in once on PayPal, and after that,
PayPal at one time also notified me that person I was doing business with was illegitimate.
Right.
And
oh, yeah?
They caught it.
Right.
I didn't think that they did.
Uh-huh.
Well, and what you're bringing up is reminding me of, pardon me, another topic that I didn't actually come here prepared to talk about, but the Apple Pay. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Apple Pay, but this is the ability to use, this is the way most people are seeing it. The new Apple phones have these NFC chips in it, these near-field communication chips. And what that translates to is you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and you can pay for your order with your phone, right? You can go to Walmart, pay for it with your phone. But Apple Pay is a very sophisticated network of payment systems that's integrated right into the iTunes store. So what Apple is trying to do, it's trying to turn itself into kind of an Amazon, So far, we've been buying songs and TV shows and movies and books, audiobooks and e-books. And we do that all through the iTunes Store. Well, the iTunes Store is getting connected with is connected to Apple Pay now. And what that what I see happening very quickly down the line, if it hasn't already started, you go into Walmart, you can buy an iTunes Store card. Have you guys seen that?
Yep.
You can buy a card. Or a Best Buy, they got a rack of cards. Mm-hmm. So you can give Best Buy or Walmart 200 pesos or $200 or whatever, and buy this card that gives you credit with a code. Then you take it to your iTunes Store, and you add the code, and now you've added money into your Apple Pay account. So you don't need a credit card on that account. That's right. You can use cash to go to a store like Walmart, buy a card like that, and add the card to your account, and they don't have access to your bank account, they don't have access to your credit card. All they've got access to, if it gets compromised, is whatever you paid into it. Mm-hmm. Very similar to how PayPal works. When you don't have a credit card attached mm-hmm. to it, you don't have a bank account attached to it. So I really think that's going to be a new wave of this financial stuff. I love the idea that my kids using their Google tablets, they don't have, I say Google tablets, they're Android tablets. One of my fears is they're able to just start purchasing programs, right? And that's going to start showing up on my credit card. They're just able to start buying programs. But the way things are working right now, I don't have to have a credit card associated with my Google account. And for a birthday present, I can give my daughter a 200 peso Google Play card. And that can be added to their Google account, and now they have funds to use, and when they run out, they run out.
Yeah. Android Pay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And so it's just, if it hasn't happened yet, we're just moments between those two things being linked together, and then Apple's trying to be a retailer. Well, why couldn't you go into Walmart and put $1,000, buy $1,000 of Apple Pay cards, right, and add that to your Apple Pay account? You don't need a credit card. You don't need a checking account. Now you can buy the new iPhone in cash as an extreme example of how far you could take all this.
What's the one with the little cube on the top of it?
Square.
Is that going anywhere? Or is that
Square
going to be
is, well, Square is a system for accepting credit cards, so it's on the other side of things. Yeah, you're able to add that device to your iPhone and subscribe to Square service, and then you can collect credit cards from your phone. You can actually slide them, or you can use the chips now that exist.
And the merchants are familiar with this. You slide it. Excuse me. Flea markets.
What was the question?
And the merchants are familiar with this. You just slide this just like you would a credit card.
Well, they're the ones that have it.
Well,
yeah. We, as far as Square goes, I as a merchant would have Square. And you, as a customer, would give me a credit card, and I would slide it through my device.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, your experience is no different than any other credit card transaction. Yeah, Square is a different experience for merchants. Yeah.
I'm changing the subject. Did anybody read about the AT&T? I use a cell and two others. They are starting with six cities, nothing around here, to put internet in, and they hope to have 200 million people on the internet by 2018 in Mexico. But the Mexico AT&T Unidos plan is available here now, and you can see how it's all going to integrate, and you bet DirecTV will be down here in no time
mm-hmm.
because
they've merged
and AT&T has got their foot in down here now, so I would say things are going to change in the next 3 years.
It brings up a really interesting. I have a friend that I drove down with, who was telling me that their Telcel phone, he paid something like 50 pesos a month additional to be able to call and chat to and from the United States unlimited.
Whoa, that is.
he also had access, and I haven't been able to verify this yet, but he also had access to his data plan while he was in the United States. He said it doesn't extend your data plan, but he had 2 gigs of data in Mexico, and he was allowed to use it the whole time he was in the United States. Now, this isn't a technically sophisticated person, so I need to double-check this. I'm sure I'm going to ask him about it next month, and if he's got an extremely large cell bill, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. Well, they have great prices on this, actually. I mean, they're giving you minutes. They're giving you data.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to try.
There's been substantial postings on Beaver St. Paulus on this subject.
Oh, yeah?
Anyone who's interested going and searching.
Now, what I just mentioned is from the Mexican end going to the United States. I imagine Viva, they're talking about from the U.S. side coming to Mexico.
Well,
when I was in Canada, I was watching this American station that advertised a phone company that you could get in the States would call Canada or Mexico, no, for it, no,
yeah.
But I couldn't get into Canada to work in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. And that's
but
Nextel.
That.
Well,
true,
they own Nextel. One. I use a cell.
I use it. I was, yeah, International USA.
Isn't it I use a cell?
Well, that's how you say it down here.
Yeah, I-U-S-A-C-E-L-L.
Yeah, USA Cell was the original company, an
I'm
International
right.
USA Cell. But if you're dealing with it in Mexico, you call it IUSA.
Oh.
IUSA Cell.
IUSA Cell?
Yeah.
Okay.
IUSA.
See, it says roaming charges are eliminated.
Oh, that's great. Oh, and since we are talking about cell phones in Mexico, I mentioned last week that I came back with an old iPhone 5 that supports 4G. I mentioned I was able to download a ridiculous amount of data in a very short period of time. I did a speed test on 4G. It is still spotty coverage here in San Carlos. 52 megabits a second. 52 megabits a second through your cell phone. If you are using 4G, if you are using your cell phone for internet, better way to put it, if you are using your cell phone for internet, realize that most cell phone contracts limit your amount of, it has a bandwidth cap, so a capacity cap. So
you stop there or you pay more?
Depends on your contract. There are some people that have data plans that if you reach the cap, you don't pay any additional fee, but they downgrade your speed. So you end up going really slow after you've reached your cap. There are other cell phone plans where they just let you keep using it because you're supposed to know you're paying $10 a gig. Right? So, and it's not uncommon for people in the States to be paying over $100 a month on their cell phone because they're exceeding their bandwidth caps, and at 52 megabits a second, you can bet you can do that in days, not weeks.
Well, on all my grandkids, as you know,
mm-hmm.
I put a block on all of them except mine.
Chester, what a grandfather. He's paying for everybody's cell phone
plan. So this plan says that it's for Nextel. I use a cell, Unifone, UNEFON. AT&T and Cricket.
Yeah.
Okay, we're down here only twice a year and a month each, so it's ridiculous for us to get telephone service down.
Down here doesn't make sense. No.
But this little flip phone, it's an AT&T flip phone, and we pay $25 every 3 months and it accumulates.
Yeah, there you go.
So at home, we don't use it. We rarely use it because we have a cabin in the mountains and we don't have a phone up there either. So it's 10 cents a minute. But down here it's 25 cents a minute, but we can get home and it's clear as a bell. So for an emergency, this
it's
thing is...
It's 25 cents in Canada or Mexico.
Yeah, and USA.
With that little thing.
And so...
That's perfect.
It's perfect for our use. I mean, we're not going to have hour
where did
and
you,
a half.
I see AT&T on it, but where did you buy it?
We bought it in the United States years ago. And all of a sudden you can use it down here. It does
it's
some
old,
gyrations
old
and now it says...
They got them all over the place.
Change times
and
update.
I got one really cheap at Walmart when I went to the States.
Yeah,
that's
what
I got. Let's not go down and
says Telcel GSM
on it. A minute. And my most economical way to go. It's no good down
yeah,
here.
Things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
I think Telmex, too. I mean, aren't we able to call the United States now if you're on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a business. And I'm like, are we sure?
Yeah, I can.
I mean,
it
wasn't right.
Was Carl Swingerman is free.
Excuse me.
That's right. And we're able to receive and make phone calls to the United States at no fee.
No fee.
Yeah.
That's still in effect.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a computer hookup for the first couple of weeks. And
now, I say that, and you might want to just make sure.
Well, I'm not going to use it anymore.
Well, make sure that you're on a plan, because it's part of a plan. It's part of a package that includes Internet.
I'll know. Okay.
Yeah. But just double-check that you're on a plan, because if you're paying for straight Telmex service, nothing else, just the phone with Telmex, I'm not sure that you actually get to call the United States for free. Right, like there's no reason for Magic Jack anymore. Yeah. I still...
Well, except that they can call me free from their area call. So that's a reason for Magic Jack. I don't think I can do it the other way.
Well, and actually, somebody questioned whether receiving was free. Actually, receiving was always free. The person on the other end has always had to pay for the long distance call to Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not free. The other, it's free to you, but somebody on the other end has to pay.
But Magic Jack, it is free.
Can you call 800 numbers
for that?
Because I don't think you can call 800 numbers.
I don't know. I don't know how that's changed with the new billing, but in the past they had a corresponding 800 number you'd use. If you had to call an 800 number from Mexico, they had something like 811 that you had to dial. If you had to dial an 877 number or an 888 number, it was like an 866 number, an 855 number you had. And I actually have a list of that somewhere. I don't know if that's still the way it works.
Okay, 00 is the United States International code, right? For telephones, you have to dial 00 first.
No, the international code for the United States is 1. The international dial-out from Mexico is 00.
Oh, that's what I meant. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it
zero,
from the
zero,
States to
one.
Mexico? What is their code?
0152.
Yeah, that's right. 0152.
Oh, that many numbers.
Yeah, it's... 00 to dial out of Mexico, 01. Yeah, 01 to dial out of the United States. 52 is the country code that they're dialing.
Oh, so, that's the country.
Yeah.
So listen, they're going to charge you for incoming, fixed number for unlimited incoming calls.
Fixed number for with unlimited incoming calls. $10. Oh, so they've got a fixed rate for it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is Mexican pesos, because look, 150, 300, 5, and they're saying 189, 279, 369.
Oh, pardon me.
So that must be the pesos up here.
I would guess. I don't know. That needs some more research.
Yeah.
Bring that information in for us, Linda. We all need to know that. It is getting close to leaving time.
Yes, it is.
I did want to mention one other thing. If you are interested in buying a new iPhone 6 in the States, they've done some really different... They've got something really different going on. Apple is providing their own financing. This is worth looking at. You can buy it outright, unlocked. And if you're interested in a new iPhone, one of these iPhone 6S or 6S Plus, this... Apple financing really looks like the way to go.
What if you don't want to finance it? You just want a good price.
Well, hear me out for a moment. They have included in the package Apple Care, which is $129 value a year. If you finance the phone, you're paying somewhere, and what I'll do is there's a great article from Cult of Mac that compares all the different carriers' prices for iPhones and then compares it to the Apple's financing. And so I'll put a link on the website for that article and you can read through it. But it seems like they go anywhere between $27 a month or $28 a month up to $50 a month with Apple. At the end of a year, you have the option of getting new equipment. So every year, Apple puts out a new iPhone. If you've got in your budget to pay $50 a month, for your phone, then you're entitled to the new equipment at the end of the year.
How come I like $28?
Or $28, that's right. I mean, it depends on what equipment you're getting. But you can walk into an Apple store and they will trade you out with a new phone, right? I mean, this is just almost, it's on the cusp of they're providing you with the equipment. You're buying service.
You're renting them.
It's your equipment as a service, right? So you always have the latest equipment and you pay for it like it's a service. It includes the AppleCare, which typically if you were to buy the equipment outright, you would pay $129 for a year of AppleCare. The AppleCare includes two screen replacements. So you can break the phone twice and they will replace it for you in that year. So this is a really appealing offer, and it's very price competitive to buying an iPhone through a carrier. Like if you were to buy it through AT&T or T-Mobile or a Sprint, it's very close to the same price. It is the wave of the future. You don't have to get the new equipment. If for some reason you want to keep paying, you want to pay the phone off. But this is a phone as a leasing agreement. The same way you used to lease a car, this is leasing the phone. The difference is no one's going to ask you for the phone back. At some point, if you want out of the whole thing, you can just pay off the phone. So, Chester, your question about just buying it outright, you would have to compare the price of the outright price plus the AppleCare price to the monthly price accumulatively, and the option of getting new equipment every year. And I think that new equipment every year that you're entitled to ends up throwing off the buying it outright price. Yeah.
Looking for a Christmas deal.
Yeah, I think it's a real good way to go. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me just talk forever. I hope we've learned something today. I didn't get to all my topics, so I'll save some of them for next week. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and if you're listening earlier, you knew that we were broadcasting this live, and we also record it for posterity and put it up on our website at sccclub.org. If you're interested in hearing any of these topics again, or any of the ones we've talked about in the past, just go to sccclub.org and you'll find a link to a recording. If you find anything useful in a recording, please leave a comment with what it was that you found useful so that I can make a note of it in our website so it's indexed and easier to find. If you have any computer problems in San Carlos, I'd appreciate it if you get a hold of my business, International Computer Solutions. You can find us at internationalcs.net, or you can call our office at 226-0209. Again, this is Scott. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next Tuesday. Tech on.